touched my heart again, because it comes back to us understanding and grasping the wisdom of His word and the love that we should have for Him, because He died for us and He rose again. Not did He just rise again, but He came back to give us understanding and His wisdom and teach us His word. What an awesome and loving Father. His mercies are everlasting. Praise God. I'm going to go to verse 10. Luke 18:10 says, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, and the men unto always pray and not to faint." Praise God. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector." And we tend to do that. We start comparing ourselves to even us here in church, you know, or even to the world, you know. And we really need to stop that. We really need to stop that. We sit there and say, we come to church twice a week. We pray. We give our tithe and offering. Yeah, but where's love? Where's the love for God? Where's the wisdom? Where's the understanding that we should have for Him? Praise God. I fast twice a week. This is what He's saying to God. You know, and we do this. We do this. In this, to us, it's natural, but we shouldn't think this way. Because I fast twice a week. I give tithes and of all my possession that I possess. And the tax collector, which is a publican, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. That he was humble. He was humbling himself, not even looking, not even having, he was ashamed. He couldn't even look to God. You know, he wasn't telling him, "Look at me, look at me, look at everything I've done for you, Lord." But you know what he said? He would not even look, and he said, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not such as much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Be merciful. He's asking Him for His mercy and His grace. He's saying, "Lord, please, I don't care what have I done for you, because it doesn't really count if I don't have love or understanding for you or your wisdom." I said, "Oh my God." I went back. I said, "This is so awesome." I said, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." It says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." Because we were justified, sanctified, and we're moving on to being glorified in Him. We are being moved to that. I said, "Praise God." Rather than other, that for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And that's what it comes down to. We need to learn to humble ourselves. I said, "And he who humbles himself will be exalted." We are going to be exalted by Him, not the other way around. Praise God. And I said, "You know what?" And this word is just so awesome. And I keep going back to Isaiah 6. I'm going to go to Isaiah 6, 9. I've been on there for a while because it's such an awesome word that pastor brought forth, and the revelation that was brought forth and the interpretation of it. And I'm going to go to verse 9. And then he says, "And he said, 'Go and tell these people.'" And this I brought into reference back to the publican, you know, and the Pharisee. Keeping on here, but do not understand. You know, because we sit here in such an awesome word, yet we don't understand, not one word. It says, "Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart." And that's what the Pharisee did. He was understanding with his heart. He was asking the Lord for forgiveness. He was asking Him for His love, really, for His love. And that's what I see for. So you know what, Lord? I just want Your love. I want to be loved by You. That's who I want to be loved by. I said, "Praise God." I said, "I returned and be healed." And when you seek the Lord with all your heart and all your might, He's going to heal you. He's going to heal your heart for whatever you're going through. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, no matter what it is. Then I said, "Lord, how long?" And He answered, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. but yet. And that's again, but not just but yet, but God, yet a tenth will be in return and be consuming, will be eaten as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose substance remains when it is cut down. Because no matter what you're going through, no matter how much you're cut and you're being pulled or whatever it is that you're going through, He's still in you. He lives in you. That substance is in you. That stump, that seed lives in you. That's who lives in you. Not everything else of this world, but He lives in you. I said, so the holy city shall be its substance. And that's Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to go to one more thing because we pastor also touched on this in prayer meeting. If you're not coming to prayer meeting, you are missing out on some good nuggets. That's all I have to say. Some awesome nuggets that bring everything together that's being taught. Not just that, but it's deeper. You know, it's more intimate and deeper and cuts to your core where you need to be cut at times or you don't know that you need to be cut, you know. And if you have any questions, you can do that too as well. But I'm going to go to Lamentations 3, verse 21. You know, and we are to be rooted and grounded in His love. In His love. We need to make sure that we are in the right soil. And I'm going to go, because this I recall to my mind, and I remember when Pastor had went to that scripture that I just said in Luke. Says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail it not. He's so compassionate toward us. No matter what we do, He still has that compassion for us. Praise God. They are new every morning, every morning, every morning. When you wake up, His mercy is there. All you have to be like the Pharisees, say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Have that love for me, for I'm a sinner. I am a sinner, Lord. Be humble and say, Lord, I need your substance within me. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. And then what is this next? The Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. When He becomes your portion, there's nothing else. Nothing else compares. So awesome, says my soul. That's speaking to your inner man that's going to be changed. And it comes out. When your inner man is being changed, you don't have to give anybody an explanation. Like, it comes out, it's shining out. Like nothing, praise God. Therefore, I have hope in Him. But first, the Lord is good to those who wait. We have to learn how to wait for Him. It's His timing, not our timing. It's His timing, praise God. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're starting with a full head of steam. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that, sister. So I'd like to bring up now Sister Millie. Are you ready for your song? Praise God. Sister Millie has a song for us, and so we want to be blessed in her song and praise God. And from there, Sister Anita, get ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's give the Lord a praise clap for our sister.
God bless you. Praise God. Praise God, saints. Romans 8:37, praise the Lord. Romans 8:37 says, praise God. I'll go to 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Are you more than conquerors, saints? Praise God. It says here, for I am persuaded. Persuaded means I have to believe, right? We have to have belief. Faith mixed with belief, right? That's the main ingredient, right? You can't have faith, right, and not believe. You have to believe. Hallelujah. So for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you and I, saints. Nothing can separate us from the love of our God, our Most High, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have to hold on to that promise. Hold on to the promises. They're not just scriptures. These are promises. These are goodies, like Sister said today. These are our goodies. These are our goodies. Praise God. So this song that I am going to sing for the very first time reminded me that of those scriptures that we have to remember. Yes, we are perplexed and stressed on all sides, but praise God. Thanks be to God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Praise God.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to start at verse 4. Charity suffereth long, and it is kind. As we read this, just really get it in your spirit, okay? Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up. So we know that charity, we suffer, and that means love. It is kind. We don't envy. We don't puff ourselves up or get prideful, because love is, that's not love. That's not charity. So charity suffers long. That's what it is. Kind, okay? And it says, it does not behave itself unseemly, which means rudely, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked. Thinketh not, no evil. Okay, so charity, love, thinketh no evil. You know, we have the mind of Christ, and we have the mind of the Spirit. Again, what is spirit, and what is flesh, okay? So you want to have that spiritual mind. It says, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. And we do. That's what we've done today, all day long in church. We have been rejoicing in the truth in Christ. Hallelujah. Brethren, all things believeth, and all things hopeth, all things endureth, all things. Oh, I forgot. It went down too far. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, endureth all things. So we have family, friends, people that we work with of the world. And that means that sometimes we really have to endure. Sometimes you would like to say something, but you don't, because you know that we are vessels of love. We represent Christ. So we don't do that. We just, you know, because the Bible says we are peacemakers. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that's what we're called to do. So now if you would turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. I don't have two sets of eyes. I got six pairs of eyes. I got my glasses, my reading glasses, and my other eyes. Hello. Okay. It says, 1 John 4:7. Did I say that? 1 John 4:7. Oh, that's what I meant to say. Sorry. 1 John 4:7. Okay. Now, I'm going to sing this scripture. Bear with me, okay? It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7 and 8. we used to sing that. Okay. So, but you know, there's a lot of meat in there. I'm going to read it. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, not of God, for God is love. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." He was the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. Okay, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected. Another word, mature in us. Okay. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us. You know, really think about it. He dwells in us and we dwell in him. We have our habitation in the Lord. He's in us and we're in him. That is so awesome. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. We have known and believe the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him." I mean, this is just repeating. This is like assurance. Okay, now listen, you got to listen to this. I'm in you, you're in me, I'm love, and you're to love because I am love. Okay, this is what God the Father is saying. He's speaking of himself and his Son. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." We in this world to show love, even to those that are hard to love. There's some people that it's hard to love them, but God is calling us to love, because the greatest is love. Okay? "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and feareth is not made perfect. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Okay, through all this scripture here, and then just chapter 3, verse 20 of 1 John, you don't have to turn to it, but it says... chapter 3, verse 23. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment." So a commandment is not a choice. When God commands something, it's something God is saying, this is what you're to do. And in the military, if the commander says, do this or that, you're going to do it. You're going to argue with him, you know. So when God says he commands us to love one another, then we are to love one another. Okay? Yes. So let's go to James 3:17. James 3:17. It says, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. I remember Dr. Wedderburn started to teach us on wisdom. Okay. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable. Again, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy. In the scriptures, in the Beatitudes, it says, be merciful that thou wilt obtain mercy. So for us to get mercy from God, we need to give mercy. And of good fruits, without partiality, not choosing and picking to who we're going to love or be peaceful with. There's not to be partiality. And without hypocrisy. What were the Pharisees? They were hypocritical. They were hypocrites. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to be a hypocrite. You know, and to be merciful, to be peacemakers, to use the wisdom that God has given you. And the first fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we are to be peacemakers. Okay, now we're coming into this week of the of Thanksgiving. And we're going to have family that knows the Lord. We might have family that doesn't know the Lord. We have, if you remember, I said the last time I was up here, there's Christians and then there's Christians. So not all Christians have gone through the fire. Like us, we've been refined and molded. We've been through on the potter's wheel and we're still there. Okay? And so we have to have patience. We got to be patient with those that don't know the Lord or those that know God, but they don't have the knowledge of God. They don't have the wisdom of God. So we have to guard the words of our mouth. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Sometimes we just have to be quiet. And we know that we don't partake in conversations or things that isn't right. And our spirit will witness that. Okay? So God is calling us to love. He's calling us to peace. And so when we're with our family for Thanksgiving, let the light of Christ shine. Okay? The light of Christ is in us. And that light can push back the darkness. Because sometimes when we're around the unsaved and they're in darkness and we're in the light, and then something might come out of our mouth and they'll just stand back and look at you like, where did that come from? Because it's the Lord, it's the Spirit. Something's going to quicken in them and they're going to look at you and they're going to see something. They might not understand it, but you know what? That's the light of Christ shining in the midst of darkness. And it's very important what comes out of our mouth and our attitude and our body language, you know. So we just want to be the, like I mentioned before, ambassadors. We represent Christ. And we're going to go into our Thanksgiving holidays and just show love, be peacemakers, show the joy of the Lord. You know, just let the light of Christ shine and love our brothers. Because the Bible said, you know, it says if a man hates his brother that he sees, how is he going to love God who cannot see? See? So, you know, it's all about love. I mean, love. And we read this in Corinthians about love. Love suffereth. There's times because we love we have to suffer certain things. But you know what? The peace of God is in our heart. He said, I will give you peace, not as the world gives you, but as I give unto you, that peace that passes all understanding, that'll keep our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus. So when we're among people that don't know God and don't have the knowledge, or maybe they really don't even care, you know, whatever. But let us shine, sisters and brothers. Let us just let the light of Christ shine, the peace of God, the love of God, and the mercies of God. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord another praise clap. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And love is the bond of perfectedness. And perfect love casts out fear. And love covers a multitude of sin. So without love, we're nothing. But it's the love of God. It's not human love. It's a love that's not of this world. It's through Christ that we love. So thank you for that, sharing that, those wonderful, beautiful scriptures. And I recommend you go over those scriptures, that chapter, 1 John is a beautiful chapter. You know, it causes you just to fall in love with God and just know how God love is just, is so beautiful, and how it just works on our hearts. And we thank God for those scriptures. So praise God. So right now we want to put our hands together for Sister Leticia Griggs, my wife. She's looking at me like, you better stop.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I am looking at the clock. I am going to be trying to be obedient for the 10 minutes because I am not trying to get in trouble with our wonderful pastor. I love you, Pastor. So let's start. 10 minutes flies by quickly. Beautiful words being taught and brought up by our sisters. And, you know, one of the things that I've been really reading about saints and for me is thinking about how I walk my walk in this world, and thinking about the things that we've been hearing and being taught by Pastor Wedderburn on our righteousness and our uprightness and the robe, the white robe that is being knitted on this side. We're talking about this side. When we enter into the next dimension, when our life is over, our time is over, it is not for us to know this knowledge on that side. We're dealing with it on this side. So when we're talking about robe of righteousness, what is it that we're doing in ourselves to make sure, you know, acquiring the knowledge, the wisdom, and all these things, eating up the word of God in order to knit and create that robe. Yeah. So with that said, I want you to go with me to Revelations 7, and I'm going to start in verse 9. If you would like to read with me, please feel free to do so. 7:9, and it reads, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne of their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And for a second there, hold on, I want to repeat this, where it says, these are they which came out of great tribulation. As I was reading, you know, Lord brought me back to Romans 8:35. And what does Romans 8:35 read? And it reads, I'll read it for you if you want to go there. Do the 10 minutes, I'm just going to go ahead of you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, 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 nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise God. It took me there. And as we continue reading, it reads, our spirits were tuned in, sister. And we continue reading, it reads, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. You know, we, in order for us to dwell with him and him dwell with us day in, day out, we call upon the Lord. We walk in righteousness. You know, the sister talked about who are we representing? We're ambassadors. We're representing Christ in us. So wherever we go, we take the love of God. And it took me back to Psalms 23, because we're talking about dwelling and him dwelling in us and us dwelling in him. And what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Dwelling him in me and me in him. Because we need to understand that when we're chosen, he dwells in us. He is just not going to dwell with anything or anyone. We need to have our households clean. We need to have our tabernacles clean. We need to be cleansed day in and day out in order for him to dwell in us and we dwell in him. How is he going to do this unless we truly come before his throne and ask, Lord, woe is me. Forgive me, cleanse me of all this unrighteousness that is upon me. Praise God. And it continues reading. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. And John 4:14, if we read, it says again for time's sake, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that is what our goal is, everlasting life. Hallelujah. And 17 reads, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And what does John 7:38 tell us? What does it read? On 37 it reads, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Saints, I want to be in that number. I want the robe of righteousness. In order for me to acquire that knowledge, that wisdom, I need to eat of this, because this is what's going to bring out of me the waters of living water. Praise God. So let's continue in his word to gain the wisdom and knowledge in him. And I praise him for his love and his mercies. Praise the Lord. Thank you, saints. I love you. Thank you for listening to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Caliente. Where did she come from? Hey, man. Praise God. Ooh-wee. Hallelujah. The rivers of living water, the robes of righteousness, that we have to be knitted. God has to do the work and lead us into that living water. But that living water is in us. But we have to ask for a drink. He who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That was awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So on that note, and we just close it, bring it on down the line, we want to bring up my brother Kobe. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's hot up here. They've been on fire up here, man. So you got, just letting you know. Praise God. These women been tearing it up. Praise God.
Thank you, Brother Andre, and Sister Letty, and Sister Adriana, and Sister Anita, Sister Millie. Praise God. Well, I am encouraged, and praise God. Wasn't that, that's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, sometimes, you know, God's sense of humor is kind of so overwhelming that you you have to laugh at God's sense of humor. Where he puts you in places, sometimes you just go, well, I guess that's where I'm at, Lord. That's where I'm at. But praise God. Wasn't it an awesome weekend? We got an awesome weekend. And I tell you, I'm at so much peace now. And I'm so much more at peace in my heart because I know that, you know, that was such an awesome celebration. And it does put more peace in my heart and settles my heart because I was... You know, it's kind of a little wild, but I think that it has. It really has put a lot more peace in my heart. And so I just thank you all, the saints of the church. Man, I words can't express, you know, how much love you've shown. And, you know, that's just been awesome. You know, and I mean, that was the love that you've shown, saints of the church. That's what we do. You know, that's how we are with each other. We're family. Amen. And that's just been awesome to, you know, and so... I want to personally thank you, you know, because that, you know, I think that was, you know, that right there, love compasses everything. Amen. So praise God. So in Isaiah chapter 25, praise God. It says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Hasn't he done wonderful things for us? Amen. Wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Praise God. For thou hast made of a city a heap, and of a defensed city a ruin, a palace of strangers, to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people. Who are the strong people? Are you the strong people? Are we the strong people? Shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. So those cities will be able, they'll fear you because you will be able to glorify. Once we glorify God, there's nothing that can break that. No, there's nothing that can tear that away. Once we glorify God, once we praise the Lord, the enemy has to flee. Amen? He has to flee. That's the commandment. He has to go. Once you glorify, once God is in your mouth and in your heart, he has to go. Amen? You don't leave no room for the devil. There's no place for him there because that's you're in a dwelling. You're dwelling. Amen? You're in his rest. So when you're glorifying the Lord, guess what? You're not alone. So there's no place for the devil because you're not by yourself. The Lord is right there in the midst. He's praising with you. Amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. It says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is in as a storm against the wall. So look at all those things that we're protected from. Amen. Look at all those things that we're protected from. Strength to us. A strength the needy. He's a strength in the needy, to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm. So we have a refuge from all this storm going on. We have a refuge. We have a place. Praise God. A refuge, a shadow from the heat. There's no heat that can just take, there's no heat that can tear us up and take us down and make us tired. Do we want, it's so hot. I need a drink. No, he says, you have a drink. Amen. If you thirst, ask me. You thirst, come get it. Praise God. There's no worry about that. There's hallelujah. He says, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place. Even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things, of full of marrow, of wines, on the lees of well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people and their veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord will, God will wipe away tears from all of our faces. So look at all the things that we're protected from. Look at all the things that are destroyed. Look at all the things that we're protected from. Then he'll wipe our tears. Praise God. He'll wipe our tears. So there'll be no more tears. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. Praise God. Only tears that you shed are tears of joy. Tears of joy, not tears of pain, not tears of heartache. They're tears of joy. They're tears of love. Praise God. He's so sweet. Hallelujah. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all of our faces. That's the tears Dad had. Those tears of joy. That's the tear, because he knew that the victory was right there. The victory was won already. So those tears were tears of joy. He just wanted one last sight of us, that's all, just for right now. But he'll see us again, amen? He just wanted that one last sight in this dimension. But in the next, he'll see us again. So there were joy. Praise God. There were joy. He said he will wipe away tears from all the faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all of the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. The Lord spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. Praise God. It said it'll be said in that day, lo, this is our God. When have you ever taken ownership of God and said, this is my God. This is my God. Praise God. That's when you take ownership. You say, this is my God. Praise God. That's what you say. Well, you have, hallelujah. When there's a purpose to serve God, lo, this is my God. I say it with purpose because I take ownership, because he says I have right to. Amen. He says, I have an inheritance, so I have a right to say this is my God. My God. Why not? Why take him away from me? You can't take him away from me. You can't separate me from the love of God. So I should be able to say he's my God. Amen. This is our church. Amen. Our church. So this is our God. We can serve him in here and we can serve him out there. However, you got to serve God. You don't let nobody take that away from you. You can't let him take the love of God from your mouth. Amen. Or from your heart by saying, well, brother, now what they were saying in this one book was, what are you talking about one book? If it's not the Bible, then I don't want to know. You can't confuse me. Don't confuse me. That's not you, and you're not going to. We can't. It says, oh, you always be unmovable, unshakable, always abounding. Amen. Always abounding. So there's nothing. Even if somebody brings up something, you just kind of, well, okay, come to listen. Well, let me show you another book. You come to my church, and I'll show you another book. If you have that, I'll come here. You come to my church. I'll say, well, maybe another time. Maybe another time. Okay. But that doesn't stop you. That doesn't stop me from coming. Amen? Doesn't stop us. Praise God. It said, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Praise God. Praise God. Say that with conviction. Excuse me. This is the Lord. I've been a little sick over the weekend, so. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That's a decree. That whole verse 9 right there is a decree. Amen. Amen. That's a decree. It says, and it shall be said. You know why? Because the Lord had spoken it. So it said, and it shall be said. Once this is the Lord spoken it, this is what's going to be said. This is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad, and we will rejoice in his salvation. Praise God. That's a decree. That's a decree. Says the Lord has said it. So now that he said it to us, we have to say it back. That's a decree. Amen. That we've waited, and he will save us, and that he is the Lord, and we've waited, and we will be glad, and we will rejoice in the salvation that he's given us. Amen? Praise God. He's prepared that table in the presence of our enemies. I mean, sometimes, like I said, here's my, bring it down to my thinking, my brain thinking. Imagine you sitting with a big table. Amen? The Lord's prepared everything, all the fixings, everything. And you there rejoicing with saints. While all this trouble's going on around you, the enemy can't do anything. He's just, can't do nothing. Can't touch you. can't get next to him, try to pick something off the plate, take something away. The word of God, he can't do it. And you're sitting there enjoying your feast in peace. How would you enjoy? How does that? I mean, you think about it, you enjoying your feast in peace. You're sitting here and there, you enjoying your feast. Your feast, the word, in peace. There's no devil in hell that can stop you. Amen. There's nobody that can come up and let me get a little bit. No, they can't. Because we're protected. We're hallelujah. We are in the shadow of his wings. We're in his arms. Amen. We're in his love. We're resting our love. And so I like this verse. I like this verse. We all should like this verse. I mean, how about we, like I said, you say that with conviction. Say that with conviction and guess how good you'll feel. Because that says, that's a lot. It says, and it shall be said, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and we shall, and he will save us. You tell somebody, if you're going to say that he will save me, he's already saved me and the miracle is already there. The miracle's won. The victory's won. How many people are going to have your, how many of your friends are going to believe you? You know, it depends on who's believing, if you believe. If they don't believe, they'll be like, well, how can you say he saved you? Well, it says right here in the word. Because you're going to get the questions. We're going to get the questions. You know, well, I went to this one church. Well, I'm not talking about this one church. I'm talking about the word of God. I'm going to stick here. Let's stay with the word of God. Amen. Because there's so many different things going on. We were just having this conversation. And, you know, and it was just, you know, we were talking about, you know, how this nation was founded by the founding fathers, which was by the word. Amen. And now it's all changed. It's all changed to where people will be bold enough to go up to somebody who's praising the Lord or who's maybe witnessing and get up in their face and tell them it ain't, boom, what is it? Slap the Bible out of somebody's hand. It ain't true. That's the world that we live in. That's the word that people, if people are bold enough to do that, why can't I be bold enough to say this? I should be bold enough to say that. You can slap this Bible at my head, but you never take me away from the love of God. Amen. You'll never separate me from the love of God. You slap my Bible at my hand, I'm going to pick it back up, and I'm going to get right back into it. Amen. You can slap it out of my hand again, but I'm going to pick it right back and get back up into it because he's my God. He will save me. And I'm going to rejoice in it. But I'm going to rejoice in his salvation. I'm going to rejoice that Christ died for me and shed his blood for me. Praise God. Praise God. And hallelujah. And I won't back down. I won't back down from you, Satan. I rebuke you. I rebuke all your little devices because you tried it before. And I know now. I know now you have no other way to get through me but the same routine that you've done before. But it won't happen. It won't happen. You rebuke him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rebuke him. Amen. Guess what? He has no choice. He has no choice but to flee. Praise God. He has no choice. What's that scripture? We're more than conquerors. If you're more than a conqueror, then just why don't you exercise that? Exercise it. Use it. Praise God. It says for verse 10, for in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him. Even as a straw is trodden down for the dunghill, and it shall be spread forth his hand, and he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down. Lay low and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Praise God. And in Psalms, Psalm 77. It says, in verse 1, it says, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto